I speak this morning in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Well, it's finally here. It's Trinity Sunday. One of the really, really important Sundays of the church year. But Trinity Sunday, frankly, has a problem. Trinity Sunday has a marketing problem. Trinity Sunday somehow just hasn't caught the public imagination the way Christmas has, or Easter. Trinity Sunday, no bunnies, no shopping frenzy. Have you done your Trinity shopping yet? Not even any greeting cards. At least none that I could see in the HEB. Nothing. Strange, but true. And even here in churchland, even here among faithful people who have deliberately chosen on a beautiful early summer morning to be in here together, even here I sometimes detect a little bit of ambivalence. Trinity. Isn't that for theologians? Trinity. We remember it from confirmation class, and it's in the creed. But really? Trinity? Really? I'm just trying to be a good, responsible person. I'm trying to live a good life. Does Trinity really help me to do that? I'm just trying to make prudent, good plans for myself and my family and the people God has put in my life to love. And then I'm trying to deal with all the unexpected stuff that life throws at me after I've made those plans. Trinity, do I really have time? Do I really have time to think about a hypostatic union of three persons, homoousios, in one substance? I'm trying to be a good disciple. What does this Trinity say to me? Shouldn't I just leave all this to the theological types in the seminaries who seem to love arguing over this kind of thing, and the rest of us can just get on with real life? It all does seem pretty abstract and pretty theoretical, and I can understand the feeling. I know that feeling. I feel it too, especially when it's my turn to preach on Trinity Sunday. It can all seem kind of abstract. And yet when we listen to our New Testament readings today, and yet when we hear Paul, when we really attend to how Paul addresses that unruly but beloved crowd of new Christians in Corinth, it changes a little. When Paul wants to wish those unruly, rowdy Corinthians, when he wants to wish them the fullest possible experience of Christian peace and community, when he wants to wish them the fullest possible experience of God's blessing, the fullest possible expression of God's transforming love in their lives as individuals and in their life together as a community, how does Paul do it? He does it in the name of the Trinity. Be at peace with one another. Give one another a holy kiss. That was the way of passing the peace. They were a kind of more kissy culture than we are. But do it in the name of the Trinity. Be together and one, like the Trinity are together and one. How does Paul do it? What does he say? It's in the name of the Trinity. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and ever. There's more to this Trinity than just theory. Though all that Trinitarian theology can seem a little bit impersonal sometimes, but listen to Jesus. In the Gospel this morning, when Jesus sends the disciples and us out to teach and to baptize the nations and to bring the good news, when he gives the disciples and us the Great Commission to go out into the world, to play our part in God's loving plan of salvation, God's rescue mission, how does he send us? What does he give us? Not a rule book, not a set of instructions. He just sends us out in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go with that, he says. Anything less isn't enough. Anything more is too much. And we've done that ever since. There's more to this Trinity than just theory or ideas or concepts. Paul reminds the Corinthians and reminds us, our Christian community, the bond that unites all of us here together, our Christian community is founded in the Trinity. Our Christian mission out there, our Christian mission to the world is in the name of the Trinity. Our Christian identity finds its source in the Trinity. This isn't just theory. Maybe we need to stop for a second and rethink this Trinity thing before we send it off to seminary and ask it to please stay there. Maybe that's why the church gives us this day. Because this whole Trinity thing doesn't really come from the study of theology at all. Think about it. Not even the cleverest theologian can put God under some kind of theological microscope, look down in there and say all of a sudden, hey, three in one. That's not where Trinity comes from. Trinity is implicit. It's woven into every page of Scripture, Old Testament and New. And even that comes from a more basic fact. Trinity is how we human beings experience the fullness of God's love. Trinity doesn't come from out there. Trinity comes from in here. And Trinity comes from our encounter with God who loves us and wants to save us. Trinity is how we human beings experience our salvation. Theologians might try to make the idea of the Trinity a bit more nice and neat and tidy and precise, but the reality of it, that comes from you and from me and from our hearts and from our encounter with the one true and living God. And you know how this works, but let's recap it anyway. We know that we've drifted far from God. We know we need to be reunited with our Creator. We know our true well-being comes from living in love and in intimacy with Him, and we know we've drifted away. That's part of our human tragedy, part of our human experience. And once we know that, we soon realize that we need a reunion with God. And when we know that, we very quickly come to realize we can't accomplish that reunion on our own. We just can't do it. No matter how hard we try, not by our most heroic moral efforts to be perfect, not by our most rigorous discipline, we need someone to save us. And we need that Savior to be more than just an example. Because if he's just an example, we'll never really be able to follow. We need for that Savior to become part of us, and we need to become part of him. We need his experience to be our experience. We need his response to God to become our response of God. We need to be unified with that Savior. That's Trinity. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need the Father to love us and patiently seek us. We need the Father to initiate the reunion between us and him. We need the Son. We need the Son to come and live among us. We need the Son to do what we need to do but just can't do. I think of the Son as kind of like a mountain guide taking me through treacherous territory. I need to walk that walk, but I can't do it on my own. I need him. I need to follow him. I need to be with him. I need to step in his steps. We need the Son to do what we need to do but can't. And sometimes we forget this next step. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to make us one with the Son. So that what he does, he doesn't do just for himself alone, and not just as a shining example. He does it for all of us, for everyone who shares in his Spirit. Because when he gives us his Spirit, he gives us who he is. All his experience and that loving, perfectly obedient response to God, that becomes part of us too. We need Jesus to breathe his Spirit into us so that his deeds become our deeds, his experience our experience, so that we can dwell in him and he in us. That's where Trinity comes from. That experience of being saved by the one true living God. This whole rescue mission, this whole act of reunion, is the single loving act of the one true God. And we're Trinitarian. Our community is Trinitarian. Our mission is Trinitarian, not because experts told us so, but because salvation is Trinitarian. Because salvation is of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and anything less isn't enough and anything more is too much. God's love is Trinitarian. So we're Trinitarian. Friends, that's why this matters. That's why this Sunday is important. Now, I'm under no illusions. Trinity Sunday may never have the popular appeal of Christmas, and really, I'm okay with that. Trinity Sunday may never have a cute symbol like the Easter Bunny. I've been trying to think of what a Trinity bunny might look like, and I just can't get it. But for us, for us who take our discipleship seriously, for us who are seeking to do our part in that great commission of Christ to bring God's healing love to a hurting world, for us who want to live in mutual support and responsibility with one another, not bound by just what we like or what we happen to feel like doing on a Sunday, but bound together in God. For us, Trinity is the heart of who we are, because Trinity is the heart of our salvation. Trinity is how God loves. Trinity matters. And so we embrace the mystery, and it always will be a mystery. But I want you to think about this. Think of a mystery. A mystery isn't something that we never know. A mystery is something that we never stop knowing. We're always growing into our understanding of a genuine mystery. It's always a little bit more than we can grasp, but we embrace it. We embrace this mystery of the Trinity. In obedience to Jesus, we go out into the world, teaching and baptizing. Teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as you go out there and do that, and as I go out there too, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.